Good morning, class. We're so glad you're here with us today. It is an awesome December already, and just a matter of what, 19 days, 18 days to Christmas, give or take. Wow, it's going to be here before we know it. And then the first of the year, and then we step into 2020. Wow. 2020. I would challenge you to get you a 2020 vision for 2020. I challenged that. I sent Paul a text yesterday, some very personal things. And I said, I would challenge you to come up with your 2020 vision. And here we are, an amazing time of the year. We've been teaching now for months and now over 2 years concerning faith and the elements that faith has in our life and our everyday walk and our journey. And we've been talking now for weeks from Psalms 126 that the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my keeper, He is my overshadowing, and He is my constant help. Okay? We're in Psalms 91. Okay? We're going to go this morning to the second verse. That's as far as we've got. But before we do, I was praying this morning, and I have written this down and maybe preached on this before. We're going to be talking about deliverance this morning. I love that word. But before we go, I want you to write this down. This is an incredible verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. You're going to love what it says, okay? I'm reading in the King James, and he said, "Who delivered us?" Notice that. Who delivered us? That's past. We've all been delivered. Already, you've been delivered, okay? Who delivered us from a great death and doth deliver, or He is delivering right now, okay? And then He said, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Oh, this is good this morning. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. He will yet deliver us. He has covered your past. He delivered you. He's taking care of your present. He is presently delivering you even as we speak. And then He's got your future secured. He said, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. A deliverance that hasn't even taken place yet, God's already got you covered. So Paul has already mentioned about this incredible, I love that, Joseph was already in Egypt, and he had already got everything ready. All things were ready because Joseph prophesied that. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God sent me ahead of time. See, God's already been in all of your tomorrows. Okay? He knows the day you're going to pass away. You don't. So don't start living up to that day. I mean, or thinking about, oh, I don't know when I'm going to pass away. I don't. You know what? Hey, man, just don't die now. We bury you 20 years from now. That's not a good thing, okay? Every moment. Oh, I tell you, I wish that I would have brought it. Someone sent me, and I would have, it would have taken so much time of my message. But someone sent me this incredible 15 different things that you do after you reach the age of 65. Now, I'm not 65. I'm not 64, okay? I'm close. But I'm taking it, Don Campbell, and reading it right now. It is, I'm telling you, I said, this is so me. This is so me. This is so me. And I'm going to take it everywhere I go, and I'm going to talk to people about these 15 items because they're totally amazing. Because if we're not careful, we will forget that He delivered us. And that He's delivering us, but He's going to deliver us. Amen. So He's already got your future already taken care of. So you're worrying about your deliverance in the future, and God is saying, I've already got that covered. I've already taken care of that. I'm already there in your future, and I'm providing deliverance for you. And this is the Lord challenged me to tell you that this morning. Not only has He delivered you from your sins, not only is He delivering you, okay, Psalms 23, you don't have to go there, but you can write this one down. We've quoted it since we were like, when we could quote it. At the very end of Psalms 23, He said, Psalms 23 or was it the Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from evil. It was the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. He said, pray that. Pray that, okay? Jabez's prayer was fourfold. If you've not read Jabez's prayer, and there's not hardly a week go by. I just touched it yesterday. I held it in my hand, the prayer of Jabez. If you've not got that book, I should have bought it and gave it to somebody this morning. If you have not read the book, The Prayer of Jabez, read that book because it is a powerful prayer in the book of Chronicles of all places. And Jabez says, enlarge my border or my territory. Make me bigger. Make my life bigger. Make my dreams bigger, okay? And he said, not only enlarge my territory, but he said, your hand be upon me. Okay? I want your hand to be in whatever my hands is on, I want you to be. And he said he would do that. Whatsoever you find to do, do it with all you might. And he said he would bless the works of your hands, okay? And then he said the third thing, he said, enlarge my territory, your hand be upon me, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. And then the fourth one, what he said, keep me from evil. Deliver me from evil, okay? You have been delivered. You are being delivered, okay? You're going to be delivered. But I got to put a slash there. If you want to.
Yes.
If you want to be delivered. Some people don't. They're talking about quitting drugs, and the next day they're shooting up again. They don't want to be delivered. You know, if you want to be delivered, you can be delivered. He is God. I don't want to be irreverent. God is in the delivering business. Okay. So last week, I don't know if we covered it in the morning class, but last Friday night or two Friday nights ago, we ended with Daniel in the lion's den. We done got him out by now. He's all right. Everything's cool with Daniel. He's all right. They didn't need him. Turn the page. It's a page turner. He made it out of there, okay? And we addressed the issue that sometimes God, it's not going to take you out of the evil. God's going to deliver you in the evil. Okay? You getting what I'm saying? Daniel had to go to the lion's den, okay? God didn't take him out of the lions, just say, you know, overnight rapture him up. You know, and he could have done that. He did it for Philip. He did it for Elijah. Okay, just rapture Enoch. You know, he did. No, he let him stay there. God shut the mouth of the lions, okay? God shut their mouths, let him stay there. God's not always going to take you out of the place. God's going to keep you in the place, but yet He's going to deliver you. Okay? Don, let's go to Psalms 91 and this morning. We're talking about God the overshadowing one, God overshadowing us, and we're really not, we're covering ground, but it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, the ground does. So, Psalms 91, and I hope we get to the deliverance part. We're in actually covering verse number 2, okay? We've been dealing with this verse now for about 3 weeks at least, okay? David, or the writer, was it Moses? Was it David? It doesn't matter to me. It's just an incredible psalm. Verse number 2, I will, okay, say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. I will say this of the Lord. I will say it. Okay? I will say it. We've been talking about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We talked about the four names of God in just the very first two verses. We talked about God's name is four times in verse 1 and verse number 2. There are 23 promises in 16 verses, and there's 15 conditions in these 16 verses. This is a conditional psalm. It is a promise. We got 23 promises in this 16 verses, but yet there's conditions that have to be met. We said and told you now, don't expect the other 15 verses to take place if you don't do the first verse. It all starts with verse number 1. It all starts with dwelling in the secret place and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse number 2, I will say of the Lord, number 1, He is my refuge. Okay? Everybody say that. My. My. What does the word my mean? Okay? You learned that when you was a little baby, okay? You had people. Is this your water?
Yeah.
I won't touch the top. You had your little neighbors to come over when you was 3 or 4 years old, and they come over there, and you just got a new little toy, and you was playing with it, and they came and they started, and you would take it, and you say, "Mine, mm-hmm. My toy, mine. This is mine." I had a cousin, Troy. Troy Finney, my first cousin, he always was a bully to me because he was born supposedly a year older than me, but basically he was just born in December of 55, and I was born in March of 56, so he was basically like 5 months older than me, but to him it was a year older because he was 55 and I was 56, okay? And he was a bully. He would whip up on me, he would do things, and he was just bigger. He was always bigger than I was. Until one day, I just took it as long as I could, okay? My mother had bought me, mine was probably like 7 years old. And she had bought me a little tool chest, okay? Had our little saw in there, and had a little level in there. It had a little cast iron hammer, just a little hammer right there. Just a little hammer, but a little hammer can do a lot of work. And I mean, and every time Troy, anything that I was playing with, if it was a BB gun, he took it. If it was a baseball bat, he took it. It didn't matter. Just who he was, okay? So he decides he's going to take my tool chest. I said, okay, that's it. He's took the baseball bat. He's took the glove. He's took the BB gun. He's took everything. This is my tool chest. And so I should not have done this. It was wrong. Felt good at the moment. I should have never done this. I took the hammer out and I planted it between his eyes. Ooh. I actually thought I'd killed him. A big old egg thing jumped out on the eyes. I mean, he's just like this, wallowing. Blood went everywhere. I mean, he went running across the street to my Aunt Delamay, and I'm telling you, she came over, and I'm telling you, I thought her and my mama was going to get into it. And my mother's kind of I nearly said meek and mild. Anyway, it was mine. When you get down and you say, the Lord, He's my refuge. When the enemy is coming against you, this is what you say. Remember, He's my refuge. Not only is He my refuge, notice this. He's my fortress. He is my fortress. Fort. He's my safe place. He's my He's my hiding place. He is the shadow of the Almighty. God is my refuge, my fortress. I wish I could read I want to see if I can find this. I think it's in 2 Samuel. Brother Dom, okay, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Go there, okay? And while he's going, I want to talk about something. When you're reading your Bible, and you do that, and when our calendar, we're going to get our picture made, our calendars are ready, and it will go to print, okay? When I'm reading the Bible, I come across a verse. Now, all the Bible is great, okay? I mean, the Bible is, it's 30,100 odd verses, okay? They're all great. But there are some five-star verses. And when I read them, I take my pen and I put five stars by that verse. They're a five-star verse. Five-star is the highest rating that you can give. It's like a five-star. When you do, you know, when they send you those things, you bought something, they want you to do an interview or they want you to fill out something, and you just say, you know, star at the bottom. And so it's a five-star verse. Just remember what I'm saying to you. It's like a five diamond hotel or a five diamond restaurant. I've been in some of those. They're pretty nice. Okay, they're pretty nice. Five star verse. What I'm about to read you is a five star verse. It's 2, 3, and 4. It's three verses. And you're going to love these verses, okay? And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord hath delivered him. What did David do? David began to sing a song. He was happy. I don't know about y'all, but let me tell you, when I get delivered, I'm happy about it. Happy. I am happy about being delivered. I am thankful that I don't have to live in sin anymore. I am thankful that I have been delivered from sickness. I have been delivered from pain. I have been delivered from not being well. I am delivered. You know what? You need to start praying. Whatever is bothering you physically, you need to start praising Him for delivering you from that. Yeah. Don't praise the problem. Okay? Praise God, I'm delivered from arthritis. Okay? Praise Him for it. Well, it's still there. Well, yeah, but praise Him. God's going to deliver. Thank you. Remember what I said? He's delivered me. He is delivering me. He's going to deliver me. And Father God, I praise You that I am delivered from diabetes. I am delivered from cancer. I am delivered. I am delivered from arthritis. I am delivered from generational curses. I am delivered from anger. I am delivered from low self-esteem. I don't know what you're praying to be delivered from, but you need to praise God that you're delivered from it. You need to start praising God by faith. Oh, my goodness. I can't go there now, but it's in my notes. And if I can find, I have written down so much. I get it I wish Paula does amazing. She lays it all out for me, but I'm just constantly scribbling other notes down. So this is my five star. You ready? And the Bible said, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that God delivered him out of the hands of his enemies. I wrote this question down this morning. In what way have you been delivered? In what way have you been delivered? In what way have you been delivered? Think about that. What are the ways that God has delivered you? I'm telling you, I got a list of them. Not only He delivered me when I got saved, He delivered me from death, that great death that Paul wrote about. I got delivered out of sin and bondage. But man, I've got delivered out of sicknesses. I've got delivered from fear. I've got delivered from oppression. I didn't say depression, but I've got delivered from being oppressed. I got delivered from places that I was in. Mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, I got delivered. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I felt a bolt of lightning hit me just then. I'm so glad to be delivered this morning. I don't know about y'all. I feel delivered this morning. Anybody else in this room feel delivered? You feel delivered? Well, if you don't feel delivered, get to being delivered about some things. Get to feeling, I am delivered. I am the liver. You're not a liver. You are delivered, okay? And David spake unto the Lord. Who did he say this to? Who did he say it to?
Lord.
What did we read in verse number 2? I will say of the Lord. Who is our deliverer this morning?
The Lord.
The Lord is your deliverer. The doctors can't deliver you. They can give you some medicine or prescription or whatever. But God is the healer. I am the Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I will say of the Lord. David spake of the Lord of this song in that day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of his enemies and out of the hands of Saul. And this is what he said. Remember verse number 2? What did it say? I will say, life and death is in the power of your tongue. I'm just telling you, can I help you with something this morning? You better listen to me this morning. You're going to be held accountable for every idle word that you've ever spoken. Read your Bible. It's in there. The Bible says it is. You're going to be held accountable for every idle word that you have ever spoken in your life. That's mighty big. Not only are you going to be held accountable, you're going to be either condemned or you're going to be justified by your words. Read your Bible. It's in there. You're either going to be condemned by them or you're going to be justified. What are you saying? Turn the microphone on. Turn the recorder on. Play it back and listen to what you just said. Listen to your conversation. Are they idle words? Are they words of value? What are you saying? What are you saying in conversations on the phone? What are you saying to yourself?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you saying, well, you're just a dummy? You're just stupid. You're just crazy. You're just ugly. What are you saying? The self-talk that people do themselves are so ridiculous. David said, I will say, and I'm not watching my clock, I see it. Okay, David spake unto the Lord this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all of his enemies, out of the hand of Saul, and he said, number one, the Lord is my rock. Y'all just can't get excited about this morning like I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this 5-star verse. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock. You got that one down? I will say of the Lord, he is my rock. Rock, what does rock, somebody help me here, what does rock represent?
Strong place,
strength, hard, unmovable, unbreakable. Who is your rock this morning?
The Lord is.
Yes.
Always.
Help me, Lord. The Lord is my rock. Remember the word my? The Lord is, you're writing these down, just write down, my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He's the one I'm going to trust. Let's go to the next verses. Did you get all this? He is my shield. We'll go back over them with you. He is my shield. You write that word? My shield. I'm telling you, it's a 5-star. He is my shield. He is the horn of my salvation. My high tower. My refuge. My Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. And you can go on. The rest of it's awesome. The rest of it's awesome. David has written this psalm right in the middle of here of 2 Samuel chapter 22. He has been delivered from Saul. Saul has pursued him from day one. He hated David from day one. He tried to kill David. He hated Jonathan because he loved David as a man above a man. And I didn't mean it was an irreverent bad love. It was just a great love that they had toward each other. And he had been delivered finally from the hands of Saul. And David was happy about it. Let me tell you one thing. When me and Miss Paula and this ministry and this property gets delivered from debt, I am going to shout the house down. Praise God. But I'm already praising God in debt freeness. I'm praising God for debt freeness. God, I praise you for debt freeness this morning. God, I praise you that we will not spend any more money in the terms of debt, mortgage, credit card debt, car debt, vehicle debt, no kind of debt. I am delivered from it. And I praise God for that this morning. Praise God. Well, I'm very excited this morning. I hope everybody can tell that. Y'all are very quiet this morning. You're just drinking it all in. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. That, my friend, is a 5-star verse. Did everybody get all the my's? Did you write all the my's down? You want to go back and visit all those, okay? The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my God. He is my strength. Oh my goodness, He's the horn of my salvation. One writer said He's my high tower. There's verse after verse after verse concerning what it says in Psalms 91 and verse number 2. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And so when I read this, I just began to look up the mighty scriptures that talks about God being our deliverer. Let's go to verse number 3, Don. In Psalms 91, and why he's going there, we're talking about God is my keeper, God is my helper, God is my overshadowing, and God is my constant help. This is all in Psalms 126. Surely, look at this. Let's go back. He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. There's something major going on here when you can say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting man. Let me help you with something. Trust man, man will fail you. Trust friends. I'm going to say something right now. Friends will fail you. Friends will fail you. Friends will let you down. But let me tell you, God will never, can never, can I even come ever close to failing you, because He is an unfailing God. Oh, and not only that, His Word is an unfailing Word. His Bible, this Word here, is unfailing. It will never fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my Word, not my Word. So why do we stress on the knee, on our knees, and in the Word on our knees? Why? Because we know those are two key ingredients to living a victorious life. But if you live in the flesh, if you're constantly feeding the flesh and starving the spirit, when the temptation comes, guess what? You're going to crumble. You're going down. You can't do that. You've got to constantly be taking care of that intimacy in Psalms 91 in verse number 1. You're constantly going back to the secret place, the hiding place, the dwelling place, the private place, the praying place. You're going back there and you're developing. I was in a place yesterday, and you know me by now, I really enjoy purchasing great books and books that I can read. And yesterday, I just fell into a gold mine of vintage books. But two of the books was, and I picked them up, and they're paperbacks, and I like the hardback bound better. But I bought these because it talked about developing your secret place. And I got those for Miss Paula. And the other one was developing your prayer in your secret place. And I got those for her because she sent me the first draft of an incredible book that she's going to write, it looks like. And it was just awesome that it all starts here in the secret place. Remove this out of your life, you have opened yourself up to problems and troubles to come your way. The Lord is my fort. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my God. He is my strength. The Bible said He's my strength. He's my buckler. He is my high tower. I love what He reinforced it. There were so many of these in Psalms. Psalms 18 in verse number 2. It says, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my God. And it goes on and on and on about everything that God is in Psalms 18. Okay? In Psalms 46 and 1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength. We need to help us pray that we can get both of our screens going, because I need Don to stay where he is, but I need Paula to be putting these verses up that I'm reading to you, that you can see how powerful it is. I love what Psalm says in Psalms 142 and 5. I cried to you, O Lord, and said, you are my refuge and you are my portion. Praise God. All through the Psalms, it talks about God being our deliverer. There's verse after verse. I read so many verses this morning about how that God will, and that's why I wanted to read that very first one there, that God is our, we have been delivered, we're being delivered, being delivered, and we're going to be delivered. All of those is because God is our refuge and God is our fortress. Amen. Did you put that for 45 or 35, Brother Don?
45.
Okay, praise God. We're going to wrap it up here this morning. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. Put personal emphasis on what you want God. I'm going to help you with something real quick, okay? In closing, put personal emphasis on what you want God to be to you, okay? When you're filling in the blanks and you're writing down what you want, put the word my ahead of the need, okay? If healing is what you want, use the word my, because all of a sudden you've attached personal ownership to what you're praying about. For instance, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Personal ownership. Mm-hmm. When you're praying against sickness, you say, the Lord is my healer. I am the healed. And if you quote other scriptures, Lord, you are my healer. I thank you for healing me. You're delivering me from this sickness right now, Father God. I am delivered. I'm being delivered, and you're going to continue delivering me from this. And then you name whatever it is. I'm delivered, God, from arthritis. Sometimes when I'm getting up in the morning, before I ever get out of bed, this is what I start doing. I just start exercising my fingers like this right here. And I exercise them till I just lose strength that I can't exercise them in. I know this sounds crazy. This is what I'm doing right here. doing exercising my fingers. And I'm exercising the back of my calves in the morning before I ever get up. I'm pulling my leg back over my shoulder, trying to get as far as I can. And why? Because I'm preparing physically to live to be 120 years old. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Go the next mile. The Lord, thank you that you're my healer. And because you're my healer, I'm going to take care of myself physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to run that by you again, slower. Lord, I thank you that you're my healer. Because you're my healer, Lord, I'm going to take care of myself physically. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to sleep right. I'm going to rest. God, I'm going to take care of my body, which is your temple. Praise God, because see, you cannot separate them. You're praying for God to be your healer, but you're eating fried chicken at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
You've canceled out the healing part. You say, Robert, I've never heard preaching like that. Well, it's time we hear about it. Amen. If you're doing all of this and you're praying all of this, guess what? It ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. Because if it does, then God violates His word. He violates what He said. So when you're praying, Lord, my healer, say it, Lord, you're the healer of rheumatism. It's not mine. It's not mine, Lord. It's the devil's rheumatism. It ain't mine. I've heard people say, boy, pray for my cancer. That is not your cancer. Don't you take ownership of that cancer. Don't you take, oh, my rheumatism. Don't take ownership of that rheumatism. When you say, what, my, you've taken ownership. It's mine. No, it isn't. It's not my cancer. It's not my depression. It's not my oppression. It's not my diabetes. No, I'm not taking ownership of any of that. Matter of fact, I'm disowning it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I got excited just then. I tell you what I'm taking ownership in. I'm taking ownership in the cross. I'm taking ownership in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for me. I'm taking ownership of the Word. And the Word says, I am the healed. I am the set free. I am. Thank God I am, because I know the great I am.
Yes.
I am because I know the great I am. I am healed because I know the great I am. I am delivered because I know the great I am. I am set free. I have no depression. I have no oppression. I don't feel discouraged. None of this is going on in my life. Thank you, God, that I am delivered this morning from that. And then if it's debt freeness, thank you, God, I'm delivered from car notes. I'm delivered from house notes. I'm delivered from mortgages. I'm delivered from credit cards. I'm delivered. And then don't put yourself in that position again. When He delivers you, I've been debt free twice in my life. I have. We've been debt free twice. I'm getting ready to be debt free again. But I'm going to start acting like it right now. I'm going to start acting like it right now. Praise God. When I get on that plane tomorrow, I generally wear jeans and a sports coat. I did a test run this morning of what I'm going to be wearing when I get on that plane tomorrow. I get dressed up, and man, I got my shoes on. Look at these. These are made in Italy. These are Johnston Murphy signature shoes, right from Blessings, and 25% off. $278 pair of shoes for $30. I'll wear them every day, boys. I'm not intimidated. Amen. I'm wearing Ralph Lauren slacks. I'm wearing a Ralph Lauren that was bought for me. I won't go any further this morning. Bracelet I'm wearing is bought for me. Now, I did buy the watch myself at Von Marco. They had it on clearance for $6. I'm delivered. When I get on that plane in the morning, Delta, and they look at me and they say, wow, he must be a doctor. He must be a lawyer. They say, what profession? I said, I'm a preacher. I'm not ashamed of it. If they're sitting down by me and they ask me, they start looking for another seat. They don't want to ride an hour and a half by a preacher. I'm excited about it. When I go representing the kingdom Sunday morning at Heritage Church of God, I have no sad stories to tell. No, I will not. We'll go in there and we'll encourage Brother Lewis and Sister Lewis and Turk and his wife and Randy and his wife. We'll encourage these people. We'll love on them. Brother ID and Judy, and they may send a word out, and who knows, Poodle may come over there, and Wendell may come over there, and T-Model may, I don't know who might come over there. They may all come out. Why? I'm representing the kingdom. That's why I want you to pray for me that the Lord will use us when I'm laying hands on Felix and Melba. And Felix, Melba said, he came to me and said, Robert, man, I preached at Mayan Hilda's funeral. And Felix came, and Melba came and said, my husband said, when I die, he's going to be doing my funeral. And I told him the last time I saw him, I said, Felix, now I'm supposed to be doing your funeral. You make it easy on me, son. Get right with God. Amen. On a mission. I'm delivered this morning. Praise God. Act like it. Well, it ain't happened yet. Go to acting like it. Praise God. Act like it. Amen. If it ain't took place, act like it's taken place. I love what they asked about Cary Grant when he moved from New York to L.A. And they said, Cary, when you got here, what was you doing? He said, I acted like from day one I'm supposed to be here. Amen. Quit acting the other way. Yeah. Remember when you was a child, I got to quit. Remember when you was a child, your mom would say, you quit acting up there. You quit acting up. You know what? If we could hear God, he's looking down at some of his children. He said, would y'all quit acting up over there? You acting like you're sick and you're supposed to be well. You acting like you're in debt and you're supposed to be debt free. Start acting like you're already healed. Start acting like you're already debt free. Praise God. Act like it anyway. If it ain't happened yet, act like it. Act like you're I'm just about to get excited. Act like you're a kingdom person. Act like you've been delivered. Act like Jesus loves you. Act like God is big as anything you'll ever face. Would you go to act like in it? Yeah. Amen. Act like it. And boy, after a while, you'll quit acting and you'll know, wow, I kept acting like it. I kept talking about it. I kept faith in it. And now it's happened. Praise God. I'm debt free. I'm healed. I'm living without pain. I'm not oppressed anymore. I don't have to take those pain pills anymore. I don't have to take those antidepressants anymore. I don't have to have a pill to pick me up and a pill to put me down. I don't have to have any of that anymore. I am delivered. I am the set free one. I'm excited about this word this morning. Praise God. And this is the word that I will take with me when I go down to Alabama. Amen. They'll say, what's been preached? I said, man, well, let me tell you, we've been in weeks in just Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Praise God. Father, thank you this morning for an incredible opportunity to tell this class that you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my high tower. You're my strength. You're my deliverer. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're the one that loves my soul the most. And Father God, we'll praise you because you are the one that delivered us. You are the one that is delivering us. And you are the one that will deliver us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.